Pick up your Bible and look with me to the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to read the first 12 verses of this chapter. And we'll read it together, taking your time from me, please. Chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Ending our reading at verse 12, and God will surely stamp his own word and put its seal upon it to our hearts today. Turn in your Bible to the fifth chapter of the prophet Micah. Micah's prophecy at the chapter 5. And in verse 2 of that fifth chapter of Micah, we read these words, And thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto thee, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. one day something rocked this universe of ours. A strange visitor had come to this earth. He who dwelt in the highest of heaven's splendor. He who dwelt in the glory of the everlasting Father's bosom decided for 33 years he would live upon this earth that he had created. Think of it. The Creator of all things walking on the earth that he had created. At this time of the year, our minds are directed to this staggering event. Of course, all sorts of forceful turnabouts has pressurized all mankind to take a view of Christ's advent, which is foreign and in many ways in opposition to the truth concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus. Mankind needs to return to the revealed facts concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, give to the Christ the honor that is due to him and the praises that are rightly his. Who is he? Is the great question of this season. Hidden away in this small prophetic book of Micah, we discover the answer to that question. Who is he? And we find it in verse 2 of the 5th chapter. Here we have God's glorious and divine answer to our quest. If you look at this verse, you will find it is a verse that reveals five great facts about the birth of Jesus Christ. And first of all, it speaks of the disparagement of Christ. It doesn't tell us that Bethlehem, Ephratah, was one of the greatest cities of Israel. It doesn't even seek to establish that Bethlehem was one of the greatest cities of the tribe of Judah. Please look at the verse. It says, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. God brings his greatest revelations through little things. God chooses the little to confound the great. And when God extended to his own world the privilege of a birthplace for his son, he didn't choose Jerusalem, David's city. He didn't choose any of the other great cities that had made such an impact on Israel's history. He chose the little city, the city of Bethlehem, Ephratah. When God moves, He moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. And when I turn back a few pages in the Bible from Micah to Isaiah, I discovered a great chapter there. And that chapter is filled with disparagements of this Savior. In fact, I had never done it before, but I counted everything that disparages Christ in Isaiah 53. There are 32 of them, all pointing out the absolute humiliation, the absolute rejection, the absolute down to the very baseline that Jesus came in order to save us. Three things that tell us of the humiliation of the blessed Son of God. Because there could be no exaltation until Christ had his humiliation. And the deeper he went down, hallelujah, the higher he arose again. God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. You'll notice, secondly, that we not only have the disparagement of Christ in my text, but we have the dawning of Christ. And what a dawning it was of this world of ours. Yet out of thee shall come forth unto me. Out of thee shall come forth unto me. Note that unique statement about Jesus Christ. And let me give you a hint. When there is a unique statement about Jesus Christ, it is always backed up in other scriptures by even more unique scriptures of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a depth is in this text. Oh, what a mystery is in this text. Oh, what sweet wonder about my Lord is enclosed here and revealed here in this text. May God anoint our eyes with eyesight that we might see. May God enable us to behold this one whose dawning is spoken of, the dawning of Christ. This world will never be the same again because of the dawning of Christ. Take your Bible and turn with me to three important scriptures. The first scripture is found over in 1 Peter 1 and verse 19. There is a wonderful unity about the scriptures of truth. That's why we know this is God's book. That's why we know that this is indeed the Word of the living God. And over here in this chapter, we read about the day star. The day star that shall arise. And thank God for the day star. You look with me at verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 1 and 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. Mark it, please. And the day star arise. The day star arise in your hearts. That's a wonderful expression. The day star. We are used tonight's star, but this is a day star. And then you will always find, when you come to read the Scriptures, that there is a similar unity by all the references in the Bible that is like the one reference that you are specifically looking at. And you will find a very interesting thing about that, and how the Lord reveals himself. If you turn over to the book of Job, you will find that you will read about a day's man. A day's man. A day's star. And then a day's man. And in that great text of Scripture concerning the resurrection in Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He cries out for a day's man. Oh, for a day's man. And then we discover not only the day's star and the day's man, but we notice the day's spring. The day's spring. Three significant titles. I want you to think about them. The day star. The day spring. That's what the old man Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, and he said when he spoke to his little baby, John the Baptist as a child, and when he spoke to John the Baptist, he had something to say to John the Baptist, his own son. And what did he say to him? Verse 78 of the first chapter of Luke. And he said, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. The day spring. There's a lot surrounding the day star in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the wise men must have followed that star for almost a 2-year period. Because you'll remember that when Herod wanted to destroy the child Jesus, he destroyed them 2 years old and under, because they told the old wicked king that they had seen the star and they had followed it for a 2 years period. The day star. But what about the day spring? Now the day itself is springing. It's coming near the time when the forerunner of Christ should appear. And his father says to him, the day spring from on high. The day star led to the day spring, and the day spring led to the day's man, which old Job spoke about and said, oh, for a day's man. One who can put his hand on me, and one who can put his hand on God, and form the link that links the day's man with God and with sinners. All in the dawning. Take your Bible, go through it carefully, look for the day star. Especially look for the stars that shine before the eternal day in the book of the Revelation. Count how many stars you can find in the book of the Revelation before the day of all days of Christ. Go through the Bible and look at the day springs, the mornings, all the mornings of Scripture. Put them together and they will all lead you to the day's man. They will all lead you to the day's man, which is Christ himself, the dawning of Christ. And then if you look again, you will find that in this text, there is not only the disparagements of Christ, there is not only the dawning of Christ, but there's the destiny of Christ. What is he going to be? Christ is going to be the ruler in Israel. He's going to be the prince. God has given him to be the prince. And what wonderful revelations are given of the prince. Who he is and what he is going to be. And what his reign is going to be like. I was struck last night when I was looking at these scriptures in the chapter 16 of Isaiah, where we find it is the Lamb. Send ye the Lamb to the ruler of the land. Send the Lamb. It's the Lamb that rules. It's the Lamb of the tribe. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to rule. And when he looked at the throne, he didn't see a lion. What did he see? He saw a lamb. It's the lamb that rules. Oh, thank God for the power of the blood of the lamb. They overcame the devil by the blood of the lamb and by the word of his testimony. If you look again, you will find here the wonderful dating of Christ. His goings forth have been of old, from everlasting. You notice the grammar of that sentence? The grammar of that sentence is peculiar because its message is that there was something before everlastingness. What was before everlasting? God, the everlasting God. Christ never had a beginning. Christ will never have an ending. His goings forth have been of old, from everlasting. And we poor sinners, lost and ruined by Adam's fall, have been lifted from the darkness of our sin, and we have been put into the everlasting scope of God's eternal purpose. The one whose goings forth had been of old, from everlasting. From everlasting. And that's how the text ends. The distance of Christ. How far is Christ from us? From everlasting. How near is Christ to us. He is and has us as part of his body. We are himself. Look at the church, and the church is Christ himself, part of his spiritual body from everlasting. And when God saved you, he did something to you. He made you a partaker of the divine nature. Think of that. That God made sinners partaker of God's everlasting nature. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. There's an old hymn writer. He wrote in the last days of the 18th century. And he wrote a hymn on this text. Far beyond all comprehension is Jehovah's covenant love. Who can fathom its dimension or its unknown limits prove? Ere the earth upon its basis by creating power was built, his designs were wise and gracious for removing human guilt. He displayed his grand intention on the Mount of Calvary when he died for our redemption, lifted high upon the tree. Oh, how sweet to view the flowing of his soul-redeeming blood, with divine assurance knowing that it made my peace with God. Not foreseen thy love excited, faith or good desires in me, but because thy grace delighted to be sovereign and free. Freely thou wilt bring to heaven all of thy chosen ransomed race, who to thee their head was given in the covenant of grace. That is the doctrine of Christ, the true doctrine of the Son of God. And in that doctrine there is everlasting life, that ye might know me, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom I have sent. This is the life everlasting. And it all comes to you and me in the darkest of all humiliations, where for 33 times Christ felt the scourge and the whip of the divine chastening of his Father in order that you and I might be redeemed. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? Jesus, my Jesus. Who is he? He's my Savior. And hallelujah, he's my Lord.